Thank you for subscribing to InvestTalk. We'll begin in just a moment. KPP Financial Senior Vice President Justin Klein explains why a registered investment advisor firm wants to talk about real estate.
Your home is an important piece of your total financial picture. You need to make sure that when you do retire, you have a plan to maybe relocate, downsize if need be.
Contact Justin directly with a note on investtalk.com. Just select Contact Justin or call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now, InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody. And this is Thursday, January 14th, and you're listening to InvestTalk. Now, we're here to try to give you a little bit of vantage, in your investments to navigate the financial markets that we're in. And they're pretty volatile, as you know. We've seen some huge volatility in the first couple of weeks of January. So we try to help you avoid some of the mistakes that the average investor makes and just become a better investor. That's all this show wants to do, is to help you become a better investor. So do the investing rules change when the market's volatile like this? Should your strategy change? As we saw and witnessing the worst ever beginning of the year for stocks, should you change your strategy? And that's one of the things we can talk about today if you want. I know it's on your mind. Everybody's kind of, getting pretty freaked out. We had a big day, up day today, but that's after a bigger down day yesterday. So as you're near retirement, maybe you don't want to deal with this kind of volatility. What portion of your portfolio should be defensive, if any? Now, many of you listen to the show, are shopping individual stocks because you call me up about them. Now, does the criteria change when a market is transitioning like we're seeing now? And as professional investors, we have rules, as you know, about companies and what we were looking for. Does those things change? They really do not. First, return on equity. You still want return on equity to be in the high teens, no matter how bad the market is. You still want it. That's your goal, to find those companies. And you got to understand what the difference between return on equity and return on assets is. When calculating return on equity, you have to first find return on assets. And a typical ROA are vary between industries too. You just can't say one number and that's good. You got to know what they are. Many technology companies, for instance, have double-digit return on assets, where many retail and food companies have single-digit return on assets. So you got to kind of keep that in mind. Gross margins, net margins. Net margins is, this is how you look at it. Net margins is that money that the company gets to put in their pocket after paying for everything. Gross margins is how much they sell a product and how much it costs to produce that product. That's gross margin. How much it cost me to make it, how much did I sell it for, and how much did it cost me to make it, the difference is my gross margin. When you get down to net, you got to add in taxes and marketing costs and research and development costs, building equipment costs, all the other costs that are involved. You got to know all these numbers. Yeah, it can get complex. So these are the four best ways to get a good snapshot of the company's health, financial health. And they really don't change with the times. They really don't. Now, I'll say this, returns, margins get squeezed at different times of the economic cycle. Yes. So you got to understand that's where you are, what kind of market you're in. So, all very important stuff. Now, do you have questions about any of these kinds of things? It's time now to give me a call. Join the conversation, 888-99-CHART. You can call that number anytime you want. I hope you feel that you're part of the discussion. So give me a call.
Hi, my name is Brian. I'm calling from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I listen to you guys on podcasts every day. My question is about ADRs and ETFs that follow foreign stock exchanges. As the stock exchanges fluctuate overseas after hours, what causes those funds as they're traded during our hours to fluctuate? Thanks for answering my question.
Okay, so ADRs, American Depository Receipts, those are foreign companies traded in our stock market. In other words, they are a foreign company, and they usually are on a foreign exchange. And then he said ETFs of foreign stocks. And he's saying, well, wait a minute, what happens after hours? And I'm assuming he means our hours, not the foreign hours. What happens after hours if those prices of the stocks in their home markets go up and down? Well, that's what happens the next day. The next day when your ADR ETF opens up, it could be moving. It can open up lower or higher just because of what it was doing after hours in the foreign markets. But you know, it doesn't have to. Doesn't have to, but it generally does. Because the perception could be different here than there on that same stock. They might fear something and we won't. So the trading here won't reflect their trading. Okay, because remember, ADR, it's how an ADR is structured is those are deposited shares of that foreign company, and then a financial institution here repurposes or packages those shares, and it could put 10 shares per ADR share or 100 shares per ADR share and sells them to the public here. So they're the exact same, they represent the exact same company, but the perception might be different as to bad news or good news, and our market may beat those shares up more or less. But generally, they track what happens there, okay? I hope that's clear enough. I hope so. Okay. 888-99-CHART. 5 investing lessons I learned in 2015. That's one of our talking points, our main talking points today. We'll discuss that. And I also want to discuss the Federal Reserve Bullard, B-U-L-L-A-R-D. He's the St. Louis Federal Reserve president. Talked about rates today, and I thought we should, I'd like to share that with you. Retail sales are going to be out tomorrow for December. Why? They might be weak. And does that really reflect if they are weak, does that really reflect a consumer that's spending, that's afraid to spend, or just spending less? Why? Remember, we've produced a lot of jobs. Why would they be weak? And finally, do you know that Mondelez, which is a big food company, maker of Oreos, they're spending $1 billion to increase the world's chocolate supply. This is something near and dear to my heart. I want them to increase that chocolate supply. Did you know the world chocolate supply is going down while demand is going up? Anyways, we'll talk about that too, because that's important stuff, very important stuff. The market was up today. The Dow was up 228 points. Now, don't get too excited because it was down 350 points yesterday or so. The NASDAQ was up 89 and the S&P up 32. Well, it was nice to have a relief bounce, and we should have, I'm sure Justin talked about it. I know I've talked about it, that, we should have a relief rally some point here. And maybe we're seeing the beginning of that. Now, I'm not going to get overexcited about the relief rally. It might last a week or two. I don't know. But I'm not going to get overexcited about it. I don't think you should either. But, it would be just a relief rally. I don't see a sustained bull market rally yet. I don't see that. But, I could be wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I don't think so. I think we're still, of course, we've had a correction again, but are we done with a correction? No, that's really the question. And what was very interesting, if you're a technician, meaning you like to read charts or look at charts, you'll see that yesterday's low was right near the low made in August and October. So it before it started to bounce today. Remember, the market was weak this morning. Even though the pre-market opening said it was going to be stronger, the market initially fell 80, 90 points on the Dow. So that's why it went down, and then it recovered. So, but it gave back some of the gains by the end of the day also. So we'll see if we have a follow-through rally tomorrow. It's going to be interesting. And we got a lot of economic numbers coming out tomorrow, so that's going to be kind of probably a catalyst as to what's going to happen. Now, yesterday I was visiting various listeners and clients in San Ramon, and of course I always like doing that. You know, I don't necessarily like flying the first time, you know, first flight out in the morning because it's early, but I do like meeting with people. And these are one-to-one meetings that are beneficial to everybody, me and them. And they keep me in touch with what's going on, what matters to people, what they're thinking, real-life situations. In addition, you know, these person-to-person meetings, you know, I can kind of take a look at what financially, where they are financially, a person is financially, and maybe point them in a direction, even if it's not being one of our clients, even though that is the purpose of the meetings. It doesn't necessarily mean have to be. And we can do these meetings whether you're in state or out of state. I can do a Skype or a telephone meetings. You can do it that way too. So just give me a call, or you can reserve a time. Go to investtalk.com and click on schedule a meeting. Or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Chart, 888-992-4278. So what's on your mind? Do we have a caller?
Hi, I've been investing now for not even 2 years. I'm pretty new at it. And I was just wondering if you knew anything about DDD, 3D Systems. I bought some of their stock recently, like a bunch of months ago, and it has gone down so much, and I'm just wondering, should I sell it, even though I've had lost a lot, or should I keep it and it maybe it'll go back up? I don't know. So I would love some advice on that. Thank you.
Okay, first of all, let's talk about why you bought the stock. I mean, you know, and yes, I know a lot about 3D Systems. That was a darling stock a couple of years ago. It was got as high as in the mid-90s. In 2014, 2013. And we had a lot of callers on 3D Systems, and they manufacture printing, phototyping, and manufacturing systems to produce 3D objects from computer data. So in other words, printing an object parts, you know, with a printer instead of a different manufacturing process. And everybody, it was all hot and bothered. Everybody was excited, and we kind of, I like the technology, but it's way too expensive because they were only making 70, 80 cents a share back then, and they were selling for $95 a share. They're only making 80 cents. So what are they making now? Well, in 2016, they're going to make 13 cents a share. Then next year, they're going to rebound to 27 cents a share, and the stock is $7.44. So is 27 cents a share cheap for a stock? The answer is no. You're going to have to learn how to value stocks. How much should this stock be selling for if the growth rate is now 10, 12%? Well, it shouldn't be selling more than a market PE ratio, which would be 15 times 27 cents. Well, there, we're talking about a $4 stock and it's still at $7.44. It's not a good stock to own. Let me rephrase that. It's not a good stock to own at this price. When it gets cheap enough, then you, and its sales and earnings are starting to grow, you know, picking up again, that's when you want to buy it. Right now, that's not working. Now, I'll say this. Insiders have been buyers. There have been four major insider buyers here in the last year. So they like it. 5% owned by the management of the company. That's good. And mutual funds have been kind of holding on to it. They really haven't been sellers of it. So, you know, there's a future here. It's just at what price is it cheap enough? And that goes to you, how patient you want to be. How patient, if you believe in the industry, how patient do you want to be? Because it could be years, several years. And it could go down, then go down easy to $5, easy. It's a $7.44 stock. And it's, the chart looks very weak. I wouldn't own it. This is the best talk. Here's a lottery quiz for you. Which three states spend the most money on lottery tickets? Don't save your money questions. I want you to give them to me. Our direct number is 888-99-CHART. We'll have the answer coming up, by the way. Okay, the three states that lead the nation in lottery spending per capita, you're going to be surprised You're going to be very surprised. I bet you a lot of you think California would be there. No, not even close. Rhode Island, number one, 794 people. South Dakota, $794. This is per capita. South Dakota, $751. Then Massachusetts, $712. Okay, and all three were left out of the jackpot, by the way, just so you know. And who buys lottery tickets? Economists and demographers say rates of lottery participation are higher among males, people in their 20s and 30s, and those at the lower end of the income scale. They're the ones who buy lottery tickets. Isn't that interesting? Younger people, males, and lower end of the income. I think that's kind of interesting. Anyways, let's get back to work. So, lessons learned in 2015. If you're an investor based on the trend of the market and you go with the trend, you're going to have endless patience because there was no trend in 2015. None whatsoever. It was trendless. Yeah, did you have movement? Movement? Yes, you had a big movement. Yeah, big movement in the market, but not any trend. So that was one lesson that you learned. Being another one, just because the stocks, our stock market is cheap, our individual stocks are cheap, doesn't mean they can't get cheaper. We saw that all over in 2015. Now think about commodities and oil stocks and, you know, think about biotechs. You know, yeah, some of them were fairly inexpensive, and they got real cheap, and then they got even cheaper. So don't think just because they're cheap that, you know, they can't get cheaper. It's a lesson learned. And, you know, you're going to have to be, you know, you're going to have kind of another lesson in 2015, you kind of have to have a contrarian mindset. You know, that because that kind of worked when the market got, you know, too high, it rolled over quickly. What was too high? Well, it wasn't that very high. So you kind of had to have a kind of a contrarian kind of attitude. And I think that's going to be true this year, too. I really do. You're going to have to, you know, say, wait a minute. Like, I'll give you, for instance, how cheap can oil prices go? And most people think, you know, most of the pundits and experts are all predicting lower oil prices. Maybe it's time to be a contrarian in that case, because for some reason I think that they're pretty close to where those lows are going to go. And that kind of is a contrarian outlook. Maybe commodities are not going to go down this year. That's kind of a contrarian outlook. Yet people still think they're going to be weak. And understandably so. I mean, there's a lot of evidence to say, well, this is why, and this is why, and this, yeah, you're right. All those are right, yeah. But for me, when everybody thinks something's going to happen, it generally doesn't happen. And I certainly don't want to listen to the experts. Do you remember a few weeks ago when I went over the top 10 picks of all the experts of stocks in 2015 and then the bottom 10 picks of 2015 by the experts, and the bottom 10 picks far outperformed? They were positive for the year, where the top 10 were very much negative. That's experts picking those. So, you know, I don't necessarily, we don't go with the experts. You go with yourself. You look at the numbers. You'd be realistic. And that's what, you know, that's why I keep telling people, you kind of want to do your own homework. I realize that you're going to say, well, I don't know enough. I don't have, well, then you got to hire somebody. I understand that. But if you know, you don't want to, it's kind of difficult because, you know, there's an old saying called the trend is your friend. And so you really want to ride the trend. But at some point, you know, if you keep riding, you keep following the herd, you're going to run off a cliff. At some point, no one knows where that point is. That's what makes this so difficult. I don't know where it is. Yeah, no one knows. Now, we're going to get retail sales tomorrow. We're going to get a lot of economic numbers out tomorrow. But the important one for me is retail sales. What is the consumer doing? What is he doing? And I think you're going to find the numbers are you know, not going to be as good as we want. So we'll talk about that later on. And I also want to discuss, you know, the Federal Reserve is in the rate-raising mode. They raised it once in December. And, you know, frankly, I think they rose the rates simply because they said they were going to raise the rates in 2015. But there was really no justification for it when you're looking at inflation or anything else. So we want to talk about that a little bit because the St. Louis Federal President, Bullard, talked about it today. And I want to discuss what he said. Yeah, so the market bounced up nicely today, even though it gave back a little bit of that strength up toward the end of the hour. But it's been, what, you know, 7-8 days of pretty much down market, down 10% or so in that short period of time. Yeah, it's pretty strong. So we should get a reflex bounce. We really should. You're listening to Invest Talk. Coming up in the next half hour, apps to help you keep your money straight, 888-99-CHART.
Coming up on the next Invest Talk, a good portfolio approach demands ongoing attention and the attitude that it will evolve as markets do. The three-step retirement portfolio, that's one of our talking points on the next Invest Talk. And you can ask your questions at 888-99-CHART, and Steve and Justin will answer it on the next Invest Talk. Invest Talk is made possible each day by KPP Financial. This is Invest Talk for Thursday, January 14th. Remember, Steve meets with a limited number each month of Invest Talk listeners. He meets via Skype or by phone. To schedule your time, click on Schedule a Meeting on investtalk.com.
888-99-CHART. Let's talk to Dan in San Diego. How you doing, Dan?
Real good, Steve. Good to talk to you again. I was just wondering if it's time to dip the toe into a little gold investment. I was looking at Hecla.
Okay. Now, we actually own Hecla in some of our managed accounts, so just so you know, HL is a symbol, Hecla Mining Company. It's a very risky, high risk, high reward, or no reward play in the gold, in the mining of gold, silver, zinc. It's a very small company, $627 million, and it would be a high risk kind of play, and that's what it is. So remember, I don't like to buy stocks that don't make money. It's not my thing. It's to always buy stocks and make money. But I don't also mind you rolling the dice with a little bit of your money on certain things. And this is what this would be. It's selling for $1.66. So this is high risk. So just be aware of that.
Yeah,
go ahead.
What was bothering me about it was the $550 million in debt. Otherwise, it's doing okay compared to other miners and such. It's just got a pretty heavy debt load there.
Well, they do have 33 cents a share positive cash flow. So they can service the debt, but they're not making any money. They're going to lose 13 cents this year and lose 4 cents next year, and that's if gold stays where it is. So the bet, Dan, is do you think gold is going to go up? Now, we have about 4 or 5 gold positions, and this is our most speculative right here.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay. Thank you very much, Steve.
Appreciate the call. That's HL is the symbol. Very speculative if you want to kind of roll your dice. This is what you do it. But remember, you do it with a very little bit of your money. You have to just have your eyes wide open, okay? Good, solid management. This is one of the reasons why we like it. It's a very well-managed company. Management owns 1%, which is not a lot. Mutual funds are net buyers, by the way, not sellers, buyers in the last year. Kind of interesting. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, Bullard, the St. Louis Federal Reserve, he's still favoring 4 rate hikes in 2016. Even though he says, despite slowing inflation, he thinks inflation is not going to pick up at all. And remember, why is this important? Because the Fed has a couple of mandates that they're supposed to follow. One is to fight inflation. Well, why would you raise rates if you don't have inflation? Raising rates slows the economy down so that inflation won't take off. And you're raising rates? You want to still raise rates? The other mandate is to ensure a steadily growing economy. You're raising rates that will slow the economy. That doesn't help the economy. So the only reason they're really raising rates is because they don't want to be this low, which is abnormally low. Granted, this shouldn't be this low. But they put themselves in this box, and they're trying to work their way out by raising rates. No other reason. They have no other justification to raise rates at this point. They just don't. He thinks there's not going to be much inflation this year. So, you know, we have an economy that's not doing that great. You're going to find our GDP numbers for the fourth quarter is going to come out at the end of this month. And you're going to see that that GDP number is not very strong. I think the experts are calling for 1.6% right now. I think that's what they're calling for the fourth quarter. 1.6% growth. Now, I happen to think that that's decent in light of every place else in the world, but that certainly isn't strong. And that gives you no justification to try to make the economy weaker. Now, I know people are going to argue with me, and I get it. I understand that the rate shouldn't be this low. They really shouldn't. They shouldn't. But I just don't know if the time, four times this year, they're going to raise rates. How about two? How about one that we've already done for last year? And how about one maybe this year? How about we wait and see how the economy does for the first quarter or two? How about that? You know, and then they decide. I rarely, frankly, don't see the Federal Reserve raising rates four times in 2016. I don't see it. Unless the economy picks up great, and that means all the other economies, China and Europe and other places around the world have to pick up. South America, Brazil, but for them to pick up, you got to have some strength in commodities some way, somehow. And that's what we don't see. And Bowler doesn't see it either. So why are you raising the rates again? You don't have any justification. We're here live 4 to 5 Pacific time, but we can take your call anytime you want to make it. 888-99-CHART. So that's our 24-hour listen line.
Hello. I was calling in with a question regarding what your thoughts are on getting into a small cap fund. The one I was looking at is IJR. Would this be a good time, or should I hold off and see how it goes for short to medium term hold? Thank you for your thoughts. Bye.
That's way too early. I would not. Exchange traded fund seeking performance corresponding to the Standard & Poor's Small Cap 600 Index. The small cap index will go up the fastest and it will go down the fastest. And there's no really support. It doesn't look like that. It looks like it's heading down more to me. You had a one-day bounce and it wasn't that much for this one. It was like 1.3%. But it's been falling very sharply, as we all know. And small caps are much more speculative. And most, when you're in a downstroke in the market, these will move down fastest. But then again, as I said, they will also recover the fastest. So how do you know when to get into it? Well, if you look in that chart, you see it broke support, so it didn't hold support, it broke down below it, and there's no other support on a daily chart, so you have to go to a longer chart to find support. And right now on a weekly chart, this is the new support. Right around, it's selling for $101, and it was right around $99 that it bounced from today. And so that's the 200-week moving average, by the way, about $99. So there's your support, because it was back a year ago in October that this is where the price was also. So you kind of want to wait to see if it holds this. I do expect to get a little bit of rally, but who am? Because just simply because the market's oversold. But will it rally from here? Well, we'll see if we have a follow-through. I think it's too early. I think it's too early to know. I think it's a very high risk purchase at this point, and I wouldn't do it. Just my opinion. It's time for Invest Talk Personal, the day-to-day money choices we make that have lasting impact on our finances. Here are four free apps that can help you track your spending and your savings. These are some of the better apps. So these have been recommended by Investopedia.com. BillGuard, B-I-L-L-G-U-A-R-D. BillGuard is a personal financial security service tracking spending and protecting your credit cards from fraud and errors. BillGuard. These are free. All these four are free, just so you know. Free apps. There's Check, C-H-E-C-K. Check is an award-winning app that helps you track your bills and monitor your bank accounts and credit cards. Level Money, a kind of a newcomer to the personal finance space. Level Money is also an award-winning app that acts as a mobile money meter, so you can track your daily cash flow. And then there's Mint.com. It's been around for a number of years. And Mint, I know, I'm familiar with. They're also an award-winning app. It's a personal finance app. You can budget, manage your money. It is a pretty good app as far as I'm concerned. Now, do you have an app you want to share that you like? I'll put it on the air as long as it's financial. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART or you can send me a note at contactsteve on investtalk.com.
How about some inside information? We have a whole library of helpful webinars, a series of info sheets on subjects ranging from insurance to the value of annuities. Become an InvestTalk insider. Join up for free right now on InvestTalk.com.
Hey guys, I have a question for the show. As a listener, I love it. I have a mutual fund for my Roth IRA. It's in a moderately aggressive kind of fund. It's US. CRX. It went down about $3 since I originally went in. I was wondering if I should put any extra cash into it to max it out for the year, or should I buy stock in Box, B-O-X. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Okay, this is the USCRX, is USAA Cornerstone Moderate Aggressive Fund. So, and of course, it's like everybody else, it's had its problems. It's not doing very well. And, you know, again, remember, this is a moderately aggressive fund. So you kind of want to know what's in it and what makes it moderate aggressive. And my suspicion is that they might have bonds or bond funds, some, and they might have some small caps, mid caps, or large caps. But you got to find out what's in it, and then you have to decide if that's where you want to be. And I don't have a problem with your dollar cost averaging into this as the market goes down. As long as you have a long-term perspective, you'll be fine. But you got to be long-term. Also, I would check this USAA Cornerstone Moderate Aggressive Fund with its peer group. And you can do that on Morningstar.com. Just type in this fund and check out where it stands within its peer group. And if it's at the bottom of the pile, I'd just get out and buy something that's at the top of the pile. VOX, that's the Vanguard Telecommunications Service ETF. So if you want to be in the telecom area, this is the stock you'll be in. This is the ETF that you'll be in. I would check on VOX. Let's see if I can find that real fast. It probably has AT&T and Verizon in it, because it has a pretty high dividend yield of 7.4%. I don't know if they can maintain that high of a dividend yield, but you would buy this mostly because of the dividend, not because of the growth. You're not probably going to have a lot of growth. But again, this is something, this is tracking the U.S. Intertelecommunications Services Index. Okay, so you want to check out what that index holds. And I guarantee it's probably some of the bigger telephone companies. And so you want to buy this for the dividend, if it is. That's what really the focus is. So that's very different than your moderate income, moderate aggressive mutual fund. Totally different investments. And if you're looking for a dividend play, well, this is one of them. And, you know, There's ETFs. That's what they focus on, is dividends. And I have a list of those, a short list. If anybody wants a copy of that list, just send me an email and I'll send you a copy of it. And it focuses on dividends and something like this. Vanguard, by the way, since this is a Vanguard Telecommunications Services ETF, Vanguard is the lowest cost fund family out there. So that's a positive for this fund. Because if you're focusing on dividends, you certainly don't want to pay too much in cost, management costs. So Vanguard's a good place to be. Okay, let's go to Robbie in Fremont. How you doing, Robbie?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I bought the Gilead a few days ago at around 97.8.
Okay.
And it went down a bunch along with the rest of the biotechs in the last couple of days. Want to know what's your direction? Whether it's good to pick a few more at this price for Gilead.
Well, Gilead is GILD. Everybody, Gilead Science, Gilead Sciences Inc. develops therapeutic treat viral, fungal, respiratory, and cardiovascular diseases. Very good growth rates, sales growth, earnings. And we've talked about it before. One of the issues is they are pretty dependent on one major stock, and that's always a concern. One major drug, and that's always a concern. But they had announced positive results from phase 3 trials on a new drug, so it's got, for hepatitis B infection. So it's got, I kind of like it, and it's pretty low cost, and it's near support, but it wasn't up very big. It was only up 48 cents today. It's a $93 stock, but it's a PE of 8. It's going to make $12.19 for the 2015 fiscal year and $12.06 for 2016, and it's a $93 stock. So you're talking about an 8 PE, which is pretty low. Return on equity is 99. So your risk is, the dependent too much dependence on one drug. The reward is it's really cheap and it should be selling for a lot higher than it is. Should you buy more? I think you should wait, Robbie, until it shows some strength. In other words, let it start to move up before you buy some more. You don't want to be, there's an old saying, don't try to catch a falling knife because you'll get cut. Well, don't catch, okay. As it's going down, wait till the stop's going down. Just like a falling knife, wait till it rattles on the floor, then you can pick it up. So wait till this rattles on a low, somewhere, stops going down and starts moving up again before you buy. Okay?
Okay. But I can hold on to the stuff I have.
I think it's such a good value. I think I would hold on to it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Now, we thank you. Are we all done for the hour? We're not done. Well, we want to thank everybody for listening for the show for each day for this hour. And please think of us as a ready resource for any financial answers you have. If you have a question we haven't aired or you want us to air, you can call us and get a note to me directly. You can call, leave a message at the 888-99-CHART number, investtalk.com. Okay, so resale sales for December will be out tomorrow. And they might be weak. They might not be very strong. Okay, and this has been, this is for December, right? Now, last year it was weak, period. The whole year was weak. It was up 1.4% for the year over year. That's not very good. And even if you X out gasoline, which, of course, prices really fell hard, it's still up only 3.7% year over retail sales. And just so you know, usually in an expanding economy, it's around 5%. So what's going on? One of the things is we're seeing, I think, habits changing. People are saving more money. That's a good thing, by the way. They're saving more money and spending less. But even when we have weak retail sales report tomorrow, I don't think you can chalk it up with people not buying. No, they're buying. It's just prices have come down. There's no inflation. Gasoline prices have come down. You might have a little less sales in cars. It doesn't mean that the consumer is not buying. It's still a little disappointing because we put on so many new jobs, right? Everybody's talking about how many jobs we put on. Well, then why doesn't retail sales go up from all those new workers? We're not really seeing it. We're seeing people still being somewhat cautious, saving the money that they're saving at the pump. They're saving that money instead of spending it. And prices are lower. So it's kind of a mixed bag. Retail sales might be weak tomorrow, but is it good news or bad news? Well, it's kind of not, it's neither. It's neither bad or it's not good. It's just what it is, the new environment. It might be the new normal that we're just seeing not the strongest, any part of our economy, not very strong. Just strong, just growing, but not that strong. We have time for one more question. 888-99-CHARGE, how you reach us between programs.
Hey guys, how's it going? This is JT. I have a quick question for you. I listen to the podcast every day, and I will just listen on there for the answer. I was wondering, I bought Chevron earlier this week when it was down right around 80, and it's had a pretty good run. I was wondering if you guys set a trailing stop loss on stocks like that, or do you just let them go and let them ride, and hopefully they continue to keep rising? All right, thanks a lot. I appreciate the show. It's an awesome show. Thanks.
Well, something like Chevron, which we own in our managed accounts, we bought several months ago in the low in the September-October period. I think that's where we bought it. I don't remember exactly where we bought it. And it popped up, and we were all happy, and now it went down, and now today I had a big update today. There is an out. It depends on what kind of trader or investor are you. Do you want to be a long-term holder? On Chevron and Exxon, those kind of stocks at this point, I'm kind of a long-term holder of those. If you want to be a trader, then you don't want to be holding on to it when it breaks below $70 or so. Remember, it's at 85. There's another breakdown or breaks to below 75, you know, then it's going to go back down to 70. So it bounced off around $80 now and is at 85.47. It was up $4.14 today. So it's up big today. So where do you think oil's going to go? That's your question in your mind. CVX, Chevron, everybody. Where do you think oil's going to go? And you've heard me say it on the radio. I like the big integrated oil companies. I think those are if you're going to be buying oil stocks, that's the place, the area that you kind of want to be in. Okay. Now the bad news: chocolate, cocoa output has been falling. So Mondelez, which is the maker of Oreos and other, you know, foods, is spending $1 billion to try to get the cocoa production up. And, you know, we talked about commodity prices falling. Cocoa is up 40% since 2012. It's not falling because supply. And most of the reason why yields are so low in the cocoa plants, like 60 plus percent of the reason, is because of poor farming practices. And remember, cocoa doesn't just grow anywhere. It's in Guyana, and you know, it's got to be in a jungle. It's kind of a viney kind of thing. Our time is up, but if you have a question you want to ask and you didn't get around to it today, you know you have 24-hour listener line that you can call, 888-99-CHART. And leave the question there. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein, everybody at KPP, we thank you for listening today, and let's meet up again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.